Amen. Just want to say a pleasant good afternoon to everyone. So come into the house of the Lord, the funeral service for precious Sister Cecilia McClashy. Just want to greet everyone, especially the bereaved family. Could we all just stand and just sing this song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. It's 176 in your songbook, the blue songbook in front of you. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what fault is of glory divine, heir of salvation, heir of salvation, purchase of God, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, born of His Spirit, washed in His love. Oh, this is my story, this is my song. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior. My story. This is my story. Oh, this is my song. This is my song. Oh, praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. All the day long, perfect submission, perfect submission, perfect delight. Oh, visions of rapture. Visions of rapture, angels descending, ring from above, angels descending, oh, bring. Of mercy, echoes of mercy, oh, whispers of love, oh, let us all sing. This is my story, this is my song, amen. And this is my story. Praising my Savior, amen. Praising. Oh, this is my story, amen. This is my story. praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. This is our story. This is our song. Amen. It's this time we just want to bow our heads and close our eyes. We just want to invite him and Brother Renrick Ruas to pray with us as we begin this afternoon service.
Blessed be your precious, holy, wonderful name. All kind Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and hearts before you this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Lord God, coming to pay our last respects to one that stood in our midst, Father. Lord God, whose testimony is there for all to see, Father. A valiant soldier, Lord Jesus. One whom you washed in your blood. One who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One who ran her course with faith, Lord Jesus, and died in faith, Father. Lord God, leaving footprints on the sands of time that another traveler could take courage and walk forth in like example, Lord Jesus, trusting and putting confidence in you. Lord God, knowing that you are the author and finisher of her faith, Father. Almighty God, in this little service, this little memorial, this little time that we'll spend here, Lord, seeing her body in a coffin, knowing, Lord God, that is just the house that she dwelt in. Lord, she's gone beyond the veil, Father, to a more glorious land, Lord, into a better tabernacle, in a higher order, Father, than it was in this body here, Father. But Lord Jesus, Mother, we come to just commit the remains into the ground, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, may so sweep down into this place, Lord God. Lord, knowing that you have taken the sorrow out of death, when you send your word, precious is the death of the saints in the sight of the Lord. We understand, Lord Jesus, that Lord God, when you stood on Calvary and you paid the price there, that you said it was finished. Yes. It meant, Lord Jesus, that we no longer have to fear nor worry. Lord God, knowing that you paid the price for us and we have passed from death unto life. And this afternoon, we just want to give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Worshipping you with this consciousness that our sister sleepeth, even as Lazarus slept, and all the saints that have gone on before is sleeping tonight. This day, Lord Jesus. Lord God, and the body that we'll commit into the ground is just waiting for that day when you'll call, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit, oh God, reassure us. May your Holy Spirit just move in the service here now. As we commit it into your hands, Father, knowing, Lord God, it's a time to be happy. It's a time, Lord God, to note that all is not lost, but all is well, Father. Almighty God, may your Holy Spirit just have the preeminence. May your Holy Spirit, oh God, move in the service in such a way, Lord, that even this little time that we spend here could have such an effect upon us, Lord Jesus, that it could be something that will give us strength and courage to keep pressing the battle, Father. Lord, if I believe for our sisters here, should have warned us, Lord God, to continue on in faith, Lord God, knowing that do not sorrow, but all is well, Father. So may your Holy Spirit just bless the little service, Lord Jesus, as we come just to pay our last respects, as we come, Lord God, just to give honor unto one that we know stood faithful and true unto you, Lord Jesus. And may your Holy Spirit, I pray, comfort the bereaved family, Lord God, with words of comfort, with words of life, Father, as we continue in this little service here this afternoon. In Jesus' precious name we ask it all. Amen and amen.
Amen. Let us sing, the tomb now is empty, stone's been rolled away, and death which is conquered. Amen. So we'll chorus, I'll call the words, and we'll sing it. Amen. The tomb now is empty, the stone's been rolled away, Amen. And death, which is conquered. Death, which is conquered in me, has no power. For Christ is alive in my heart. Oh, let us sing it again. The tomb now is empty. Amen. The tomb now is empty. The stone's been rolled away. Amen. Christ is alive in my heart. It's alive in my heart. And death, which is conquered. Death, which is conquered in me, has no power. Me has no power. For Christ is alive in my heart. Amen. How we thank him for the tomb. It's empty this afternoon. Amen. We could all have our seats. We just want to invite our precious brother Rollock and his sisters to come and sing for us. There will be another spring. Amen.
Everything was blooming, pure and white. I run and play through fields of green, listening to the robin sing. Then came the summer of my life. Lazy days, starry nights. I thought those days would never end. When I felt that cool September wind. Now I've reached autumn as we're getting cool. Trees were turning reddish gold. Hard for me to realize. Now I'm getting old. Seems like only yesterday my hair wasn't gray, but I won't worry about these things. There'll be another spring. There'll be another spring. I'll be young again, 'cause I believe in the truth. I'll have eternal youth. There'll be another spring. I'll run again and laugh and sing. In a place where time won't mean a thing, there'll be another spring. There'll be another spring. I'll be young again, 'cause I believe the truth. I'll have eternal youth. There'll be another spring. I again and laugh and sing in a place where time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring in a place where time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring.
Amen. At this time, I just want to call, amen, Herbert McClashy, Mr. Herbert McClashy, just come and it's a scriptural reading at this time. Amen.
Let me greet you this evening in the blessed, wonderful name, a name that is above every other name, the name Jesus. I am one of the brother, the elder brother of Lucky, which we generally call her Cecilia. And I'm thankful that she have seen it fit to admit me upon her program. And therefore, I'm asked to read a verse of scripture. The Holy Spirit had directed me, having heard about the empty tomb. So I will read a scripture from the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning from the 8th verse. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field. As the Lord appointed me, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked them, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, thou sayest. And he was accused by the chief priests and elders. He answered nothing. We find, then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they are written against thee? And he answered them never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled. We'll stop there this evening as I decide to read another portion of scripture here, way back in the 54th verse, the same chapter of 27th Matthew. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top of the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went in the holy city, and appeared unto many. And when the centurions that saw him and were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Bless God for the empty tomb this evening. Amen to your precious name. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, I just want to call Sister Donna Blaisdell. Read for us the eulogy this afternoon.
Good afternoon, and God bless everyone. Before I begin to read the eulogy, I just want to say it was written by her daughter, Molly. Cecilia McClashy was fondly known to her friends as Lucky or Luck, and recently to her brothers and sisters in Christ as Sister Cecilia. She was born on March 24, 1931 in Tobago. In her earlier years, she was an active participant in every aspect of life, and later on very famous among her friends and members of her church for her sweets as well as spicy treats. Sister Cecilia went through a difficult period during her illness, and being a devoted member of her church, she had a strong and unfailing dedication to her religious belief. A mother of seven, she had endeavored to raise her household in a strong appreciation of godly virtues. As a member of the Third Exodus Assembly, she was a pillar of strength to all those whom she came in contact with, both young and old. They all hungered and yearned to be part of her testimony as an elder or mother figure. She had her own special style of relating events that occurred in her life with enthusiasm, vigor, and animated facial gestures that had your undivided attention, and you could be sure to tell when that sister was wrong when you hear her, "Amen, brother," or "Glory," resounding off the walls. At times, in all her pain, she would call on the brothers who usually transported her. She wanted to make sure that they would pick her up for service and would often reprimand them for not arriving on time. Sister Cecilia was vibrant and forceful in whatever she undertook, and certainly every question was answered with her watchwords, "All is well." Her last 3 months with us were filled with promise of a brighter morn. She often spoke of that theophany, or that place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. To her family and friends, Sister Cecilia would always be remembered as an advisor, companion, and most of all, a great spiritual inspiration. That's what her faith was all about. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, as she would sometimes say, "All is well. Amen."
Amen. Those were her favorite words. Amen. All is well. Amen. We just want to invite our sisters to sing "In Death There Is Victory." As they get ready, could we just turn to the song on our leaflet here and sing "Wings of a Dove." Amen. Amen. Send us His love. Noah had drifted on the floods many days. He searched for land, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. He gave us a sign, gave us a sign. On the wings of, oh, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove, God sent His pure sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, though I have suffered many a week, though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing.
I cried for healing.
Both night and day, faith wasn't forgotten. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me a sign, on the wings of a dove. Oh, on the wings, amen, on the wings of snow white.
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, thy victory. But I thank God that death is swallowed up in victory. Up the hill with the Lord, Jesus walked up Calvary's road. No man took his life from him. For you and me, he willingly gave. In his mind, he held a vision. It was after resurrection. Truly, he paid a victory's complete in the perfect sacrifice, so we could sing in death, in death, that in death there is victory. Self-sacrifice means free. Victory, oh, tell me now, Bride of Christ, we're not different, we must pay the price. As he lifts up our cross, though we suffer and our lives are lost, yet we must die to ourselves and sin, truly become that burnt offering. But it shows in the this I see.
dead, there's victory. Amen. Could we all stand at this time? Just want to invite the pastor to the pulpit. Knowing it might be a little dark inside there, the reason is because there's no electricity. Amen. So let's just sing this song, All Is Well, the favorite words of our sister. Let's just sing, All Is Well, All Is Well. Amen. Amen. All is well. Amen. All is well. Oh, all is well. We have heard the message, Shalom. We have heard the message, Shalom. All is well.
There is a place of perfect rest behind the end of it. Little bride, rest for all. Oh, once more, let's really sing it in the spirit of worship. All is well. All is well. Oh, we have heard the message. I've heard the message, Shalom, all is well. There is a perfect place. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Amen. Shall we bow our heads with a prayer? Our gracious Lord Jesus, we come to such a blessed privilege this evening, Father, to come and to gather in your great divine presence, knowing that you are the great resurrection and the life. You are the one who conquered death, rose triumphantly and said, because I live, you shall live also. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. How we hold those words so dear in our hearts. How it has given us courage down through life's trials, down through life's journey, dear God. How, Lord, those things were such a reality, became such a living experience in the heart and life of our sister Cecilia. Knowing she has completed her earthly journey, dear God, and has gone on to her eternal destination. But Lord, we have the remains of a body here with us, this earthly house that she lived in. And as we gather around it this evening, O God, to pay our last respects, to say a few words concerning her, to speak of the great hope that you have given unto us as Christians, and especially in this dark hour that we live in. We look forward, dear God, for the same Holy Spirit that quickened her when she was dead in sin and trespasses, that raised her up, Lord, to move among us here today, especially with her family being gathered together. Dear God, their hearts could be encouraged. Lord Jesus, that even as Sister Cecilia believed, oh God, your Holy Spirit could take the word that changed her life and change another one's life today, Father. We look to you now and we commit this service into your hands. We pray for your divine leadership and your direction. In all that is to be said and done, may the Holy Spirit take the word and may it put strength in every heart this evening. May you make yourself so real among this group that is gathered here. May your great divine presence be felt in a very special way. For truly, dear God, we know our sister was a true Christian. In every sense of the word, a true believer, oh God. One who lived with a passion, Lord, for you. One who served you, Lord, without reservations. Have your way in our midst this evening. Bless all that's been said and done. May it bring glory unto your name. And may it bring comfort to every heart. For we pray and we ask these things believing in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you have a Bible, I'd like to invite your attention for a scripture reading taken out of St. Luke chapter 9. If not, just pay close attention to the reading of the word. We want to make everyone feel welcome here this evening. We have the remains of one who is very dear, I believe, to all of us. And that is why we are gathered here. Even some of our relatives, our sisters, travel all the way from the United States to be here as well. One of our daughters as well. And we are certainly glad to have everyone, all friends, relatives, all that is associated with her in life's journey, to be gathered here this evening, that we can truly give God thanks for a life that was lived, a life that was worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God says, if you respect him, he respect you. If you honor him, he honor you. And I believe he will give honor to the life that she lived this evening. In St. Luke chapter 9 from verse 28, maybe I could read from verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, that Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And before you have a seat, I'd like to read a short portion here also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. It says here, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they... My goodness, can't even see. That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that have... But they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Again, we want to say special greetings to I don't know how maybe close the relationship might have been and how recent the last visit and, you know, conversation took place. But nevertheless, we are so thankful for what God has done in our sister's life. And for those who may not have seen her for a long time, by virtue of the life that she lived, we can communicate to you in truth and in the spirit of Jesus Christ that she was a true Christian. She didn't take Christianity as a profession that you go to church on Easter or go to church on Holy Year's night and try to turn a new leaf. And, you know, she was a Christian 24 hours a day. If she talked in her sleep, she would talk the Bible. I don't know if anybody ever heard her talk in her sleep, but if she used to talk in her sleep, I guarantee that she would be speaking about the Word of God. Amen. Her subconscious was so filled with it. It truly impressed me, you know, having preached many funerals and visit many people when they were dying. And please help me. Don't do that to me. And while, you know, in the end, they would have to maybe say the last words or take the last breath and then depart from this life, I noticed very much that it was so outstanding with her in the last few moments, and we spent with her on the separate occasions that I was able to visit with her at the hospital, that even down to the end, you know, she had such a dying faith, such a settled peace. Amen. Fear, there's nothing that could be seen or recognized that could be associated with the word fear. Everything was peace, everything was anticipations, everything was expression of faith. And while she was able to speak, when she speak, she would speak of the word of God. And, you know, it just showed that even in the midst of pain, and she suffered quite a lot, bear a lot of pain in the last few days, but even in the midst of that pain, though we had believed and were convinced that she was a Christian, and it was not a good act that she put on over the years, in the midst of that kind of pain, we knew it was for real. We had a double confirmation, it was for real. And that does something to you, because, you know, it makes you realize that a person, by receiving the word, the Bible said in Hebrews 4, I believe, it says, they that heard the word and didn't mix it with faith, it didn't profit them. But you could see the reality of a person who hear the word, and that word create a faith in their heart, and they mix that word with faith, and they apply it in their lives, and you see the reality of it when circumstances come. She was so positive. I was thinking just recently here in this island, we had a very notable psychiatrist who committed suicide, and I could imagine how many people he had on the couch and would explain to them and all his learning, maybe in psychiatry, and all the things that they learn, how to psychoanalyze people and ask them questions and probe into the subconscious mind and these things. But it was just theoretical for him, because when the pressure came upon him, he committed suicide. The very thing he tried to help people out of, he himself could not face. And then to see someone, brother, who could receive the word, who could come into the reality of an experience that Jesus Christ is not something 2,000 years ago, it's not some theory, it's not some little form of theology, but by an experience that have changed her life and make her a new creature in Christ. And she lived by the power and the virtue of that life that she received from her new birth, that people who knew her in the old way that she might have associated with, they could tell that something had happened to her. There was no taste for it anymore. And when she would speak of Christ, she would speak of Christ to someone. But she didn't care whether you're the Archbishop of Trinidad. She had a chance to speak to you. She'd tell you about the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen. And, you know, it makes you feel good in your heart when you could have believers like that around. Because it makes the Bible live again to you. You don't have to think, well, boy, I wish I lived back in that time to be associated with great people. You can rejoice to know that God still produced those kind of Christians. And when the Holy Spirit comes into a life and gives a man a real experience or a woman a real experience, you see a reality. Amen. You see something that tells you the tomb really is empty. It tells you that the Savior is no longer in the tomb, but is in the hearts of his people. Amen. when he rose, he raised them up also, that we rose with him when he rose, and is seated far above all principalities and powers. Amen. And our sister Cecilia, you know, as we heard the eulogy this evening, and one of the most outstanding things about Cecilia, I think anybody who knew her and loved her and was associated with her, was a sense of humor. You couldn't be a sad person around Cecilia. No way. She had a way to get past your pride too. She had a way she could make you laugh at your own self. And you know, I tell you, God make up people in different ways, and the way he make up people that he send them into the earth to be a blessing, to serve a purpose. And sometimes they don't touch the whole of Trinidad, they don't touch the whole of the Caribbean, because their little ministry might be confined just to a little local area. It might be just a few people in the neighborhood or a few people in the assembly. But those people who a relationship was established with, you find that they who know beyond her address, where she live, and maybe some external peculiarities that she might have that the physical eye could see, they who know her a little bit, to talk to her, to see what pulsates within her, what pushes her, where her convictions lie, the things that impresses her, the thing that is real to her, what she would like for other people who think they love her and respect her. You know, she didn't have a lot of money in life, but I guarantee if she had a lot of money in life, a lot of poor people would be rich, because she was not selfish. What she had, she shared. So she had a little joy, and she shared that joy. And those who knew her and didn't have no joy of their own, when they come around her, they left with joy. They left happy. Amen. And you know, those who had no faith and courage to face the problems in life, when they met her, they left a little richer to deal with life problems. And you know, you look at that and you realize that there's a reality. There's a reality about God. She might not be a great theologian, and she might try to explain what she believes. And you know, not being articulate and not being maybe eloquent in speech or so, she might not be able to bring it to the way somebody would like to hear it. Amen. But then that may cause a person sometimes to fail to see that she had something real. Amen. And you know, the joy and the faith and the peace and these things that she had, she tried to share it. Sometimes she'll get her own children, they're right here, and I'm not saying this because they're here, but she look at some of them sometimes and she realized that they want to be happy in life. They want joy in life. They want excitement and adventure in life. And she who had went down that certain course, looking for adventure, looking for excitement, and looking for peace, and who came up empty, came up with a kind that the fade away. That when she found the reality, she tried to say, it's not down that road, it's down this road. But you know, sometimes people, it's difficult for them to receive a testimony of a true witness. Amen, I want to experience. Yet they know that she's tried to live and, you know, get happy off of the kind of peace and joy that the world could give. Only to realize afterwards, it brings disappointment. It's only temporal. It only lasts for a time. But when she found the peace that passed all understanding, when she found the love that passed all knowledge, amen. Brother, she wasn't ashamed, whether she was in a crowd, whether she was by herself. She didn't care whether people say, well, she's crazy. The woman getting old and crazy, she's talking to herself. But she read in the Bible, David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's why she doesn't seek no psychiatrist or none of these kind of things in this neurotic age that we live in. But she found peace in the Word of God. She found joy to know that God could pick her up on the Marabella where she was from. Amen. Almost in the dunghill. Amen. And raise her up so high that she's in the presence of Almighty God today. Amen. She's associated with people you're reading this Bible here. She's gathered with them this evening. Hallelujah. Without money and without price. Amen. But it was more than she won the national lottery. But she didn't try. Every time she go in the supermarket and two, three people there trying to hustle a little lottery ticket
and said, lady, you know, take a lottery ticket, $1 million drawing this week. And she didn't have time for that. She had more money than that. Amen. That couldn't give her the kind of joy and the high that she had come to receive just by a revelation of the word of God in her soul. If you hear me shouting a little bit, you know why Cecilia is a fellowship here. Amen. We have like spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We angelic beings associate together. We believe in heartfelt religion. We believe in old-time religion. Amen. But wait, make you stop your line and stop the devil flying. Amen. It bring things from undercover. That's the kind she believe in. She tried a few others too. Just like she tried a few joy places, she tried through a few religious places. But she came up with a reality. And the reality proved it was real, because when she was in the midst of pain and everything, given up by the hospital authorities and lay there, but she wasn't a depressed woman. She died with faith. Amen. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Amen. She looked for a new body. She looked for it, but if God didn't choose to give it to her and she remained alive until the Lord come, she was willing, amen, to go the way God wanted her, knowing she's still going to have part in the resurrection, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Hallelujah. And she looked forward to it. Amen. She looked forward to it. And she seen these promises afar. She was persuaded of them. Not only was she persuaded of them, she confessed them. Sometimes it caused a religious disturbance when she confessed it, but she was not one to debate and argue and fuss and get a bad spirit. No, sir. Because if you couldn't see it, praise God, she'll pray for you. Amen. She ain't gonna fight and try to unchristianize you. She let you know no man could come except the Father first draw him. Amen. But what she had, nobody could take away, because it was real to her. Amen. It gave her the satisfaction in life. In this age, brother, when people, everything is, you know, it's such a neurotic time. Things are so uncertain. We live in such dark, perilous times. But yet, you know, there was something about her. She, in the midst of it all, I remember visiting her in the hospital. And right now, we're doing some work out in Princess Town and Cedrus. And I was telling her, I says, Cecilia Gill, I says, my, you should be down in Cedrus, man. You should see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And you know, all the time trying to lift up the bed and try to get her where she could kind of swallow a little bit and these things. And boy, and she sit up in the bed and she gave out one of them big loud hollers that she normally gave. Amen. Because just to realize that there's something out there, and she, if God was going to take out that bed, she wanted to come and be down there in the service of the Lord. And you know, it just showed that she made a clean cut decision. She never wavered, never looked back. In her book, didn't have the word backslide. She didn't know what that means. Amen. She knows she was a sinner, and then she knows she gets saved, and she didn't know nothing about backslide. She loved God too much. No wonder the Bible said, those who is forgiven much will love much. She know where God took her from. Amen. She wasn't a little angel out in the world. No, sir. She found out that God don't just save church people. And you're not a born and religious woman. She found out God saves sinners. Amen. She saw and experienced the reality that salvation is real. Amen. And one of the things, though she was very boisterous person at times, you know, express herself, her convictions and so on, yet there was something about humility and forgiveness about her. But she was quick to say, I'm sorry. There was such a humility about that sister. And never want to murmur, never want to complain. You know, sometimes after we get to find out, you know, I remember saying, they say the squeaky wheels get the oil. So if you don't squeak, you don't get no oil. You know, which means you want something to cry for it, make a little noise, you're going to get it sometimes. But she was one could eat her pain and eat her sorrow and hide it so far and put a big smile on your face. They think everything is going all right. And maybe someone who's a little privy to her situation and tell you, she's going through a real hard time, you know. Then it makes you realize, my goodness, and she won't say a word? What's the matter with this lady? Why is she keeping to herself like that sometimes? But she, if she felt she was going to bother someone, she didn't want to bother them. If she felt she was going to get in somebody's way and have to depend upon somebody, she didn't want to do that. Because she had conviction that the God she serves is able to take care of her. Amen. Some of you might know if you see in the road,
But the part of her I'm talking about is what Jesus Christ made out of her. What the Word of God produced in her life and what she was when she left here. Amen. See, I remember she's one to always accept the challenges of life. Life is a challenge, especially in these times. But each day when you read the newspapers, you see the economy, the country, you see what is happening. And maybe in the morning you could get a notice and you could be out in the road or something. If you rent a little place also. Not necessarily she had her own property or anything like that. But yet there's a peace to face life's struggles and troubles and disappointments. She was one who could take a challenge. That she will not, you know, complain and murmur and try to win people's sympathy and make them feel sorry for her. When you think you're going to offer sympathy, many times you could go to a hospital bed there and you leave strengthened if you go down. If you go down thinking she's sorry, you're going to get a word of exhortation or something, a word of admonition to help you out there. And not only was she a firm believer in the Word, because she believed this Bible, I tell you. Theologians learned with diplomas, Bible school and turn back collars and everything else, candles in the church, what have you, that they can do to put a good relationship, couldn't explain away what was real to her. She knew God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She know God teaches the same, does the same. She know every word in that Bible that God says, if God says, she believe it. She know there's nothing about the Bible that's outdated and old-fashioned. It is relevant and present tense, even for this very hour that we are living in. That's the way she believed it. And because of that, a little life that she lived, short life. She'd been 63 years, next couple of months. But she didn't complete that 63 years, be her 9/7. But for the 11 years almost that she was baptized from 1983 in March, then she served God for those 11 years with unwavering faith. The cross before her and the world behind her, no turning back. And you know, she leave her 7 children and her 7 grandchildren and 2 sisters and 3 brothers to go without her for a time being. Amen. Because she is absent from the body but present with the Lord. You know, the same way we could go home in a closed closet maybe and find some clothes that she used to wear. That we could identify that was Cecilia's dress. We used to see her wearing it in church. It's a garment that she once used to be inside of. And so we look at that body this evening. It was just like a garment, a robe of flesh that she once wore. But now she has taken off that robe and has put on a better robe. Because the Bible tells us if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there is another one waiting for her. And if you notice, in my little scripture reading here this afternoon, reading here about this Mount Transfiguration experience, it was something that changed the understanding of the ones who were able to be there. Jesus was speaking one day and he was telling his disciples, some of you standing here will not see death until you see the kingdom of God come in power. And the Bible says after 8 days of him saying that, he took them up into that mountain. And when they went in that mountain, he was praying. And while he was praying, something happened. They saw Jesus' garment became as white as light. They saw his countenance begin to change. Everything about him was different. And they saw that there was a glory that flesh had veiled to them all those years that they know him and was associated with him. But now he was giving them a glimpse of the pre-incarnate glory that the angels had to put over their face and cry, holy, holy, that they couldn't look upon when they saw that great radiant glory coming through his flesh. And he had passed on to a stage of immortality. And then while he was there, Peter and James and John, these 3 men, fishermen that he had called to serve him in that day, they looked there next to Jesus, who they knew by natural vocation was a carpenter. And as they looked there, they saw 2 men that they had read about in their Bible that the churches had taught. They saw Moses 1,400 years before Moses had died. The very Bible in Deuteronomy told them Moses died up in the mountain. The very Bible told them in 2 Kings chapter 2 that Elijah was translated into heaven without seeing death. 800 years had passed and no one had ever seen him since.
And while they were on that mountain, they saw these two men appeared to Jesus, as if they knew he was going to be in that mountain. And Jesus, knowing what was going to take place in the mountain 8 days before, told them, come and go with me. Some of you will not see death until you see my kingdom coming in power and great glory. And they went up there to be eyewitnesses. In 2 Peter, Peter speaking about this account, he says, we were eyewitnesses of him in the holy mount when the voice spoke from that excellent glory, when he made known unto us his dunamis and his parousia. Amen. The power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was being made known to them up in the mountain. And Jesus told them, tell no man the vision, what you have seen. But I want you to notice something. How could Peter, James, and John, those men who had never even seen pictures painted, nothing. All they had was the historical account in the Bible of a man named Moses, where he lived, delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and took them out in the wilderness. A great prophet of God, one who was going to be like the Messiah. And Elijah, a great prophet who stood there, who represented God's justice. How God spoke to him and brought fire out of the sky, brought rain out of the skies. How he restored the word among the people. And yet, they never having seen these men, one lived on the earth 1,400 years before, one lived 800 years before, and they stood right there and they saw them and they were able to recognize them immediately. Jesus didn't introduce them to them, but under that atmosphere, amen, let me tell you, when she come back in the resurrection, she will not be looking like that body there. She'll be far younger than that. Amen. She'll be restored to eternal youth. Amen. And you will need no introduction if you know her. There'll be something in that meeting. Amen. There'll be something like it was at Mount Transfiguration. There'll be something there. You will know one another. Let me tell you, when she went over on the other side, she might have had ancestors for the past 2,000 years. In that lineage, might be Christians. You don't even know how far the family tree go back. But I guarantee you, when she crossed that river, amen, she landed on that shore, nobody had to introduce anybody. They knew one another, amen. To his people. Jacob was gathered to his people. There's a gathering that takes place there. The same way when we know where she was going. I remember in the hospital. We got down, they called me up and I ran down the hospital. Went up in the ward and the Lord was so gracious. The Lord honors the desires of the hearts of his children. And shows his faithfulness to them who trust in him. She was able to see all her children at her bedside. She had spoke to them at different times in life's journey. But now when she knew she was going up, the feet begin to get cold. And we was talking one day by the bed how death starts in the feet. Because the Bible says, and Jacob gathered his feet up into the bed and gave up the ghost. And you feel the feet begin to get cold and like it was coming up. And again, cold and cold. And then they had to put things on her feet to keep her warm. But she knew those things. She was taught those things in the Bible. And she understood those things. That's why it brought peace in her heart. And the expectation to go. And I remember while she was there in the bed, you know, we know how she and Raul was the one 11 years ago when he came and he heard the gospel. And it so broke his heart and he surrendered his life to the Lord and he thought of mommy. You know, it's strange how God works in people's lives. Amen. There was something about Raul. She loved Raul because she was the only boy child she had. But there was something about him. And then I remember when, you know, he got saved. He ran up to call mommy. I think she used to be in the spiritual baptist or something like that, where she was trying to serve the Lord the best way she know how. And then Raul went and found and began to testify to her. And, you know, she came up and never went back since. Amen. It was something. It was like coming home. And then, you know, down through, you hear the stories. You get close to the family, they tell you the thing that went on home. She and Raul were so close, even the hospital bed, she would call him. What the sermon about was on Sunday, Raul. What they preach about it. She wants to know. She's interested. When she was sick at home, sometimes, you know, Brother Alec, different ones who was close to her would try to take her in the car to the hospital and so on. And God was so gracious that he brought everybody there, you know, to be with her in the end. But I want you to know, to make this point, that Jesus
telling us about death. In Luke 16, he says when, like Lazarus was about to die, that beggar, how the angels had come to bear him away. And so Jesus began to reveal to us that on departing this life, in order to enter the next world, you don't just go into world. You don't just come into Trinidad just like that. You don't jump on a plane and land in Trinidad. You have to come to the authorities. You have to get a passport. If you need a visa to come, you need a visa as well. You need to come and present your documents to show that your documents are okay and you are allowed to come to the country. If you are a resident returning back home, then you have your passport. You have some status, some identification of that status that would allow you into the country. Well, so Jesus tells us how there's a place in prison, a prison house, where those who die outside of Christ, they are taken to the prison house. As much as they want to go up, they don't go up. Many times, landing in the United States, I see that immigration officer press a button and see a red light come on. See some federal officers come through a door and they take somebody. Next thing you know, they're back on a plane somewhere. Why? In the natural realm, it has that. Is that right? Even the natural country has that. How much more heavenly country? If here have a form of administration and security and all these things, don't you think God have that there too? Amen. And that is why, you see, people fail to realize they have to get the documents in order. They have to get their visa. I was telling, I said, Cecilia Gill, I said, right now you're waiting on your boarding announcement. You're lying in bed here, I said, you come to immigration, everything we check. I said, as far as we know, we check you out and everything else. And now I'm waiting here for the angels that the Lord said is going to come to bear you away. I, as the earthly angel, the one who preached the word to you, the one who watched over your soul down through these years, the one who give you guidance from the word. Amen. I say, I'm here now waiting for those angels to come, and I'm going to hand you over to them. Amen. Everything's clear. I see you in the waiting gallery here, and you just waiting. You in the waiting lounge, and you just waiting for your boarding announcement. I say you have your boarding ticket in your hand and everything else. Your ticket all stamped and everything else. You have your seat assigned to you. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And when the announcement comes, you're going to go through that door, and the last one to usher you right over on the other side by God's grace. When you land on that shore, there'll be a welcoming committee, amen. A welcoming party, you'll be gathered to your people. Amen. And while speaking those things by the bed, we was waiting and we know Raul. Raul wasn't there. And Raul had been her buddy and son and friend and, you know, brother in Christ and everything else down through life's journey. And now Raul wasn't there and we all know she wouldn't go for nothing. I remember Marlene here saying, Mommy, you can go now, Mommy, you know. And she stayed there and breathing, can't talk. But after a while, everybody became sensitive. She's not going until Raul comes here. So then a search went on. We put out the feelers to get Raul. We couldn't find Raul anyway. So finally, we get a hold of Brother John Smith, and he says, Raul is up St. Joseph. He's doing some work up there. And so they get a hold of him, and they tell him to come quickly. Because them angels is waiting there. We are waiting here. She is waiting here. But I remember one time we was in Fort Worth, Dallas, there coming back, and we come off the plane, you know, making a small stop, and was going through a little corridor, a little arcade, looking at some shops, and the people who had to get on the flight, they got on the flight and they was getting ready to leave. And while they was getting ready to leave, we were still outside, and we didn't hear the boarding announcement. And you know what happened? The plane was going to take off, and as about to close the door, Brother Joe, one of the brothers, said, he run and stand in the middle of the door and stand like that. He says, "All this plane cannot leave here. The pastor and the brothers outside, they have to come in here before this plane leave." But let me tell you, it was something like that. Something like that was happening. Because she couldn't go, and she would not go. And she's weak, and she will not go. We didn't even realize they had the oxygen turned off along. And she was there and still could not go, breathing under all that difficulty through the mouth without oxygen. When the nurse came, she realized the oxygen was turned off. She turned it back on. Give her a little help there in between. Maybe God knew it needed that little extra something. Amen. I'm a very kind looking nurse. Was so polite. She says, you know, I have to get off shift now, but you know, I trust everything is all right and so on. Very polite. And we were noticing all these things. All of a sudden, I think it was Antoinette, she sees Raul coming through the window, and she began to call him, and he began to run, climb the step, and by the time he reached us, he says, Mommy,
your son is here, Roy, your son is here, mommy. And we know the last request was granted. And while I was there, I was thinking, I said, God, I said, you're so faithful. It almost made me cry. I said, Lord, you're so faithful. Because I know from the word of God, even though my eyes don't see them physically, that those angels are there coming to pack her away because she's finished. Her earthly journey is ended and she's just waiting for the last breath, the last second to tick and her card be taken off the rack and then she'll leave this life to the next life. And I know those angels are there. They have been dispatched to come and get her because she cannot go into that land except but she have a clearance. And that's the Holy Spirit had them to call us. Prayer was administered, everything, and I begin to think of a story I read about a great servant of God by the name of Paul Rader, who was dying, and he had a real brother and friend by the name of Luke. While Paul was dying, all the people gathered around, I'm closing, all the people gathered around together, and while they was there, you know, they was gathered around, and they was talking and singing a little few old songs, sorrowful, mournful songs, you know, and then Paul Rader, the story says, get up, look around at the people singing, in, you know, as he's getting ready to die. He said, who is dying, me or you? He said, come sing some snappy gospel songs. Life of the place a little bit, amen. He said, because this is my coronation day, amen. In a few minutes, I'll go through that door and I'll meet the one I live for and love and who saved me, who I'm looking for all my life, who I'll spend eternity with, amen. Going on to a better life. Leaving all this sorrow behind. Amen. Bible says, when Moses and Elijah came to speak to Jesus, they spoke to him about his decease. That word decease is only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. It's a Greek word called exodus. It's mentioned there. It means exit. And you see them exit signs there? Everyone is by a door. If you see an exit sign on this wall, you know something wrong. They put it in the wrong place. It's by a door to give you an exit. Right now, we all gathered in this building here. And there's a world outside and there's a world inside here. But then the time comes and you see that exit door and you have to go through that exit. And when the service is over, you head right through that exit and you leave this little world inside of here and you go into another world. Well, that word exodus, they mentioned that they were speaking to Jesus about his exodus, his decease, his exit. And it's used 3 times. It's used twice, speaking about leaving this body, and once in Hebrews 11, 22, speaking about the children of Israel departing from Egypt. Death is a beginning. It's not an end. It's a beginning. It's a going out. It's an exit from this world. It's a leaving this behind. If it's an end, it's an end of the slavery and the bondage and the pain. And so it was, the pain that she had suffered, the bondage in the pest house, this house of corruption that in the end was caving in. I said, Cecilia, your window's been broken. And you know, the Bible says the house is like a tabernacle. And your pillars get weak. You could hardly stand up on your pillars now. And then everything begin to get dim. Your lights begin to go out in your house. And your house begin to get old and shaky. Amen. The cold air is coming in. But then you're going to leave this house to go in a better house. He have one prepared for you, dear. And you get ready to make your exit. And so, you know, I watch the grace of God in granting the request of her heart. And that we all knew. And when Raw came, then a little while afterwards, then she had to go. Because the purpose was fulfilled. She was able to see him. And I think, I said, look how God knows what it would have been for him if when she had to go and he wouldn't be there. He'd always feel that something was unfulfilled. He'd like to, and then I remember we asked him to pray the last prayer with her. And he began to pray again. And while he was praying there, it made me think. He said, Paul Rader, after he says, where is Luke? They said Luke was in the next room. Luke was crying. Luke didn't want to come around. Paul Rader was dying. And he says, no. He said, Luke has been my buddy. He'd been my friend down through life. He said, bring Luke here to me. Let him sit with me until I go down to the end of the river, until I step into that ship and sail out on the broad bosom of the ocean. Because Paul says, the hour of my departure is at hand. But I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And now there's a crown of righteousness that awaits me, whom the righteous judge will give unto me and all them that love his appearing. She had finished her course, friends, but she finished it faithfully. She kept the faith. She died in faith. She displayed that faith even at dying bed.
that it was so pleasing to God that down to the very last wish that and desire in her heart, God brought it and gave it unto her. So gracious is our Lord Jesus this evening. I'm sorry we don't have time, but I'm going to have to close there. But Cecilia McClashy, the memory of her will live in the hearts of those who knew her in the faith. And we know there's going to be a reuniting because she served God's purpose here on this earth. She walked in the light when it struck her, when it shone in her pathway, when it showed her, you're a sinner, Cecilia. You die like that, you will never make it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, just like he met St. Paul on the road to Damascus and threw him off that horse, but she surrendered her all to him. She came to know him and love him and serve him with a passion that her life was a distinguished life, a notable life. Nobody can come in this church and not notice Cecilia. Not that she was frontish or trying to put herself in the way, no, but she was unique. She was like a priceless piece of art in the corner, right there. In that corner, she sits right there. That's where her seat was. And every time you look across there, you know, it's only pulling you. You look and see the big smile on the face there. See? And today she's up at the Father's house. She's in a body where there's no suffering and no more pain, no more heartaches. This experience I read here, where it shows that Jesus' death was to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Even the way you die, even the place you die, even the type of death you die, everything is appointed by God. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And not so much how we're born and how we die, but it's how we live. Especially when the light of the word comes our way. And that is what made a difference. That's why we could say these words about our sister this evening. As we're about to close, we'd like to ask the Western sisters to come. They have a song. And after they sing, then we have prayer, and then we have a final song at the end with the sisters. Here they all want to sing a farewell song, a song that she loved. And I felt it was appropriate. I thought, you know, I tried to infer it the other night when we were making arrangements that maybe they should sing. Because when I heard Marlene sing, Cecilia said, Marlene, that voice is for the Lord. And I trust Marlene take heed this evening and something happened here to her that the Lord will really get that voice by God's grace. So let the sisters come by God's grace. We really appreciate the time. This is an evening of joy. She's graduated, friend. She's gone on to a place where she knows where she's going. As the song said, by the look on her face, you could tell where she was going. She knows where she was going.
While I watch a hand today reach out to a loved one, and it nearly broke my heart to say goodbye. When I heard an old friend say that she was leaving, I've been waiting oh so long for God's chariot to take me home. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Where the roses never ever die. God's river never run dry. Children play forever on the hills of freedom. Oh, there's no more wars, no more pain. No more party ever again. The grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Oh, this earth with all of its beauty holds so little. And if I could leave today, I'd be satisfied. Well, I hope that you won't think that I'm ungrateful. But my heart is set on glory, and my mind is fixed on glory. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side. die. God's river never runs dry. Children play forever on the hills of freedom. Oh, where there's no more wars, no more pain, no more partying ever again. The grass is greener on the other side. God's river never run dry. Children play forever on the hills of freedom. Oh, no more war, no more pain, no more partying ever again. The grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side. Where the grass is greener on the other side.
Amen. Shall we all stand to our feet? You say, is she going to come back? Did Moses and Elijah come back? It shows they're not dead, friend. They just changed dwelling places. That they could even tell Jesus about the death he was going to die and how he was going to raise afterwards. And then Peter, Jesus could tell Peter about that he was going to die. He said, Peter, they will take you where you don't want to go one of these days. They'll stretch out your hands. And here Peter's an old man looking at crucifixion in the face, tearing him. He said, the Lord have shown me that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. Look at John. They tried to boil him, the history says, in hot oil and couldn't kill him. You know why? They didn't fear death. After that experience, after the reality of it, they saw Jesus pass into immortality. They saw Moses and Elijah come back there and speak with them from another world. They knew what lay beyond this life. How far has she gone? She ain't too far from us this evening, friend. It's just in another dimension right here that the eyes cannot see, but it's another dimension right here. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Almighty God, author of life, great creator, you are the one, dear God, that means the most here this evening. You are the one who holds the keys of death and hell. No man can go into that grave except you. Suffer it to be so. No man can come out except you permit it, Lord. Because these things are in your hands. But it gives us encouragement. It gives us peace. As your great purpose and mystery unfolds, we see the divine realities from your word. To see another one, Lord, who has confessed that she was a pilgrim and a stranger, and here she had no continuing city. Another one, Lord, who is seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Another one, Lord, who separated from this world. When your light struck her heart, rose up, Lord, and followed you, forsaking all things to follow you. She's come to the end of her journey. She's come to your house. She's gathered with her people. We have her remains, and we remember the times that we shared together. Now we see the value of those moments. Especially, dear God, looking at her face that day in the hospital. Seeing the last final moments, how they were being fulfilled and what was happening in simplicity. Yet seeing that you brought her life to such a peaceful end.
such a satisfying end, dear God. Truly all things work together for good to them that love you, and to them who are called even according to your purpose. Knowing, dear God, as your word has been preached this evening, maybe not to the extent, dear God, where it could have been made more real, had it been, we had the opportunity to have more time. But take the few words, I pray, Father. Let it become significant and meaningful. As the scriptures was read and we began to expound upon it, Lord. And it would come to life within the hearts of these who hear it. And they would think, Lord, of what lies for them at the end of their journey. Lord, while we have breath in our body, while we are sin in our minds, while the opportunity presents us even now, the same way it presented Sister Cecilia and changed her life, I pray, dear God, these who have gathered here for this purpose and have heard something about her and her life, how it was changed, and the hope that purified her, and the destiny that she has gone on to, and the expectation in our hearts that we look for that time of reuniting. Give the opportunity this evening to all those, dear God, that would desire to have that opportunity, to be partakers of this great hope. You said faith come by hearing and hearing by your word. That even her dying, giving cause to all these people to be gathered from different walks of life and be assembled here this evening, something that would bring glory to your name and something that would make her life even more worthwhile, can be accomplished. Would you do that, Father? I pray that your grace would go down to every hungry, believing heart. Looking for that reality, we see the world is dying. We see this nation is dying. We see justice is dying. The government is dying. Everything is dying, Father. It's not what it used to be. It's deteriorating. It's becoming worse with each passing day. It's becoming darker and darker. Until gross darkness is upon the earth and upon the people. But you say, arise and shine, your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and it shall be seen upon you. Let it be, Father. We thank you for the life that our sister lived, the memories that you leave with us, and the assurance of she being in the resurrection because she served your purpose faithfully. And as we leave this place, coming to the end of this service, paying our last respects, and then going to inter the body at the Broadway Cemetery, we ask for traveling mercies, your continuing presence with us, until the completion of today's proceedings, and may it bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these blessings. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. The family would want to come and sing On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. Someone help them with the mic, so make sure you give Marlene a good mic here. Do that for mommy. Gather. They used to do that at home, and that's, I guess, why they want to do it here. I was surprised. You see, they know every song we sing in the church here.
He had drifted on the floods many days. She searched for land in various ways. Trouble she had some, but not from above. God gave her his sign on the wings of a dove. on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, wings of a dove, Jesus, her Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though hair rejected, but not from above, God gave her his sign on the wings of a dove. Wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends it to your sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, wings of a dove, though she have suffered in many a way, she cried for healing both night and day. Faith was not forgotten by the Father above. He gave on the wings of a dove, wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends it for your sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends it for your sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, wings